Okay. Shalom aleichem, Rabbi Yisai. We are in Chavetz HaLevavos, Shar HaBitochen, Perek Hey. Shar HaBitochen, Perek Hey. In my edition of the Lev Tov, as just discussed, it's page Shin Ayin. Chavetz HaLevavos is finishing up to describe to us the differences between a person with bitachon and a person without bitachon, how the differences will manifest. And he began by noting differences in the approach to parnasa. And now he moved in on, expanded the discussion a bit to more of a general outlook on life. So the seventh and last difference that he's been telling us, which we've been seeing yesterday, is that for the person with bitachon, his material focus is on the present. Hishtadlus requires one to see to it that in a general way his needs are seen to at the moment. It doesn't require him to amass in a great way through the future. Again, there may be some basic elements of responsibility to think long term, but in general, hishtadlus does not require a person to think long term. It requires a person to have a setup of providing for himself in a broad way in the here and now. The here and now, there's room to define exactly what that means. But what he's telling us is that a person with bitachon, when he thinks of the future, he is thinking primarily of Olam Haba. He does not put much mental energy or stress into planning the future. His future is Olam Haba. He lives in the here and now, both in terms of providing for himself, does his ishtadlus, without thinking too much what's going to be later on, and in the here and now in terms of making sure that I'm living every moment with that goal of Olam Haba in front of my eyes. I'm living every moment of life focused on Olam Haba and gearing my actions toward that. As we elaborated yesterday, Silas Yasharin, this is really the subject of his first chapter, where he says that a person should try to train himself to this way of thinking, that anything all throughout the day, whatever he's busy with, the guiding thought is always, how can I utilize this moment to get myself closer to Olam Haba, and the decision that's in front of me, the choices that I'm about to make, are they going to get me closer to Olam Haba or further away? Now, we're not going to elaborate now, but we have, in this forum, discussed plenty of how a person can ultimately incorporate all of life into the Olam Haba program. It's not just limited to the things that we call objective spirituality. We've discussed plenty how a person's job, a person's mundane activities, eating, sleeping, involvement with one's family, with the right mindset and the right approach, can all be moved into the realm of our spiritual program, and all can be helping to get us toward Olam Haba and earning us Olam Haba. Your eating, when it's done right, when it's done with the right intent, your eating can be earning you Olam Haba, your sleeping can be earning you Olam Haba, your job, your business can be earning you Olam Haba, your involvement with your family can be earning you Olam Haba, taking care of your material needs, engaging in healthcare, etc., can all be gaining you Olam Haba. And this is how the Chavetz HaLevavos wants us to be thinking. Okay, we move on. And this is the focus. Now he adds to this. He says, "V'hum asher amru." This is what Chazal meant when they said, "Shuv yom echad lifnei misascha." Do tshuva the day before your death. This is a classic statement in the Gemara where some Talmidim asked, the Rebbe taught, do tshuva the day before your death. And the Talmidim asked him, what does that mean? How does a person know when he's going to die? And the Rebbe answered, that is exactly my point. That is exactly my point. Yoshuv hayoyim, per shubay. They explained that statement to mean, Yoshuv hayoyim, do tshuva today, Shema Yavos Lamachar, lest you die tomorrow. Meaning, a person lives with a mindset of, you don't want to be living life forgetting about Olam Haba, and then all of a sudden later in life say, oh, 1 minute. Because what usually happens in such cases is that it doesn't happen later in life either. Rachmana Litzlan, the greatest tragedy of all, is that it happens the moment after. Oh, now I'm in Olam Haba. What do I do about it now? It's too late. You want to be living your life with the focus of Olam Haba and with the understanding that I want to be ready at any moment to present myself there. And therefore, as a regular part of life should be, what do I need to be changing? What do I need to be improving? What needs to be set right in order to ensure that if, chas v'shalom, I'm taken now, am I presentable? Am I ready? And I must say, the events of this past year, this is one of the points that should have been brought home. That a person ever knows. You have to live every day of life as a gift, as an opportunity, not take things for granted, not assume that we have as much time as we would like to think. Every day of life is a gift. Make the most of it. Live it with zest. Enjoy every day of life as a gift. When a person lives that way, his entire life he's busy with tshuva. Tshuva means, for our purposes, it means constantly improving oneself, constantly trying to grow, living a life dedicated to getting close to Hashem and growing. Like it says in the Pasuk, make sure that your clothing are white at all times, meaning make sure you're always presentable, lest you get called to present yourself at any moment. A person who does not live with this sense of bitachon, so first of all, his life is an accumulation of misfortune, meaning we've already learned that the person with bitachon knows how to move through misfortune. Painful things happen in life. The person with bitachon knows how to weather them, because he understands that these are part of Hashem's program for him, which are ultimately for his benefit. It hurts at the moment. And as we discussed, a person might undergo chalila, ordeals, tragedies in life. We receive guidance from the Torah as to how to relate to these things, how to grieve in the proper way. But ultimately, when we regain our equilibrium after the initial shock, let's say, chalila, in the case of the death of a loved one, the Torah provides a period of shiva, a period of shloshim, to do the natural grieving. But after that, we are meant to regain our equilibrium and put it back into the perspective of, this is very good for that person now, he's in a good place. And this experience was meant also for me to bring me closer to Hashem. It's part of the very specific spiritual program that Hashem has in mind for me. I was always taken by the Medrash that describes the death of Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen, the brother of Moshe. It says, the Medrash tells us that Moshe, when it was Aaron's, when the time came for Aaron to die, so we're told in the Psukim that at Aaron's death, the Jewish people wept for him excessively. It was a terrible loss for the Jewish people. Aaron was the best friend of every Jew. But the actual death was in a very close circle. Only Aaron, Moshe, and Aaron's son Elazar were present. When the time came for him to die, Aaron, Moshe, and Elazar went up to the mountain called Har HaHar, and they went in there together. And the Medrash describes how Aaron lied down on a bed and Moshe told him to lie still with his arms at his side and to close his eyes and to close his mouth. And as they began removing the Bigdei Kahuna from him, a cloud came and covered Aaron step by step, first it covered up to his waist, and then it went up to his shoulders. And slowly, they removed the Bigdei Kahuna from him, and the cloud covered him more and more, and then he was gone. And Aaron and Moshe and Elazar are conversing with him all throughout. They're conversing with him all throughout. They're talking to him, and then it reaches the point where the cloud covers him over entirely, and they say to him, Aaron, what's going on now? And he says, I can't describe it, I can't tell you, but all I could say is, oh, if only I had gotten here a little sooner. What always struck me about that medrash, and I actually see it fully described, is the lack of emotion. This may sound strange. It's the lack of emotion. There's no emotional parting between Moshe and Aaron. There's no emotional parting between Aaron and Elazar, his son. It's just so clear in that medrash how they live with that reality of, I'm not going anywhere. Or I am going somewhere, but like I'm stepping behind the curtain. I'm just going down the hall to the next room, and you'll be here soon. Nothing major happened. Just because it was so simple to them that he moved on, I'll be there soon, and this is really where we're going to move on to the next stage of life. It's the next stage of life. That's really what it is. Or even more than that, it's really the beginning of life. This is just a preparatory stage. We're here in this world just as a preparatory stage. It's mamish analogous to a pregnancy where, you know, the baby, the fetus feels very at home in the mother's womb. That's his entire world. And then there's an end. The end comes. And he has to move on. There's a very profound song, a Journeys song by A.B. Rottenberg. This is from the first Journeys tape. But Amamish brings home the point so clearly. It's a conversation between two twins in their mother's womb. And they're debating. There's the idealistic, optimistic one, and there is the cold, pragmatic one. And they're arguing. And the pragmatic one is saying, don't get caught up with rosy visions. Our existence is exactly as we see it. That's all there is. And once it's over, it's over. And the other fetus is saying, no, I believe that there is something after this. I believe that there's so much more to be experienced. I don't think that it just boils down to this. And they both understand that their time here is limited. And the song culminates with the stage of the birth. And the first one to be born is the idealistic one. He's born, and then you hear the pessimist, the skeptic, is still in the womb. And he's looking around and he's saying, my brother is gone. My brother is gone. I knew this was coming. This is the moment I have known. And now he says, it's all over. Now forever I'm alone, he says. Right? And then you hear the other voice faintly singing from a faint distance. And he says, why are you mourning? My life is just beginning now. And he said, the faint cries that you hear are sounds of joy. You're hearing them say, congratulations, a baby boy was born. Don't limit yourself to the familiar frame of reality. There's so much more waiting for us. And this is really what life is. It's a relatively brief, when we're here, Be'ezus Hashem, we'll be zoiche. Let's not put it at 120. We'll be zoiche to 150 mitzvah Hashem. I think that's a bracha. And Be'ezus Hashem. But you know what? When we're here in this world, 150 years seems like a long time. And it seems like a shame that afterwards it has to stop. 150 years is fleeting. And really, this is just a brief preparation, enabling ourselves to get ourselves together, enabling us to get ourselves together in order to really move on to the beginning of our existence, in order to move on to real life properly. So once again, the person with bitachon is equipped for this. Everything that he goes through in life is moved into this perspective. Therefore, none of the events of this world are of two big significance. First of all, because he knows that Hashem is guiding his life in the best way possible for him. But there's another point also. This is just a very fleeting, transient stage of life, and it's a shame to waste too much energies on these mere 150 years. My energies, my mental energies, my emotional energies would be much better spent on preparing for the billions of years that are to follow, which Bezus Hashem we're all going to experience. And we'll experience it in the most optimal way possible. So now, he says, in contrast, you know what? I'll just end this off with a little anecdote from the Gemara and with an amazing insight from the Shlach. The Gemara says that Hillel was one time returning home from a trip. And as he approached his hometown, he heard terrible cries coming from the town. There was something terrible going on in one of the homes in the town. And Hillel said, "Muvtechani, I am completely confident that that is not going on in my home, that the cries are not coming from my home." This is an example of his bitach. But the question is, the Mefarshim asks this question, the Shla asks this, there's no such thing as a tzaddik who undergoes misfortune? How could he be so confident that it wasn't coming from his home? And the Shla says something amazing. The Shla says something amazing. Hillel didn't mean to say, no misfortune can ever strike my home. He didn't mean to say that. He meant to say, my family members would not be crying like that. My family members would not be responding like that because I have trained my family to understand that nothing is that bad. Nothing could be that bad. We've been through ordeals together and we move through it with equanimity, knowing that it's being dealt to us by someone loving, someone with a capital S, who knows what's best for us. And my family have the right perspective. Cries like that would not be coming from my home. And therefore, whatever it is that happened obviously did not happen from my home. It's an amazing, amazing pshat. And this is basically the point that the Chovas HaLevavos is making here. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. Good night, Rabbosai. Everybody, have a healthy and productive and successful continuation to your week.
Thank you very much.
Erev Tov, Rabbi. And-